father and your mother, as the Lord your God commanded you, that you your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that your Lord God is giving to you. And then the New Testament reading is from John chapter 2, way up on page 887, and it's verses 1 through 11. On the third day, there was a wedding at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus also was invited to the wedding with his disciples. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does this have to do with me? My hour is not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for the Jewish rites of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the feast." So they took it. When the master of the feast tasted the water, now become wine, and did not know where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and when people have drunk freely, then the poor wine. But you have kept the good wine until now." This, the first of his signs, Jesus did at Cana in Galilee and manifested his glory, and his disciples believed in him. The word of the Lord. I'm going to go ahead and pray for us, and then see what we see in this passage. So Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for an opportunity to come together. Thank you for the moms who are here, and thank you for all the ways that you take care of us. I ask that you will be opening our hearts and our minds to hear what you have to say, and we submit this time to you, Jesus. Amen. So, before I dive into the passage, just want to make a quick announcement, because it seems like that's what everybody with a microphone gets to do today. There will be no Sunday school next week. We just finished up 2 Timothy today with adult Sunday school, and are unclear as to whether we're going to do something else this summer or just call it for the summer. So, just if you show up next week, consider it an opportunity for solitude and listening, prayer, because you'll be there alone. Okay, so Karina, the lovely lady down here, herding all the children. That's H-E-R-D, herding, not H-U-R-T, herding. She and I just celebrated a anniversary at the end of last month. It was our 23rd wedding anniversary. Yeah! We were married in 2000, which means every year I know exactly how long we've been married, and is a stroke of genius on my part. She thinks that I may have been dragging my feet some so that we could just get to that nice round year, but whatever may be true. Love you! It was a small ceremony at McHugh Creek Park. It was the end of April, so there was potential for it to be spring-ish down outside of Anchorage. It was more winterish than springish. It was a little bit chilly, but it was a great day. It was a really small ceremony, so there were just like 30 to 50 of us there. And the thing that I was most terrified about was that the park has a scenic overlook, so you're standing next to some rails looking out over the mountains, and it's beautiful and it's pristine, and there's a cliff right there that a ring could very easily be dropped down and lost. And so the entire wedding, as I'm standing up at the front, I'm like, "Don't drop the ring, don't drop the ring, don't drop, oh, my fingers are so cold, I can't feel them, don't drop the ring." But I didn't. She still has it. We haven't lost any of that jewelry yet. It's fabulous. 23 years and counting. It was a small ceremony. We wanted to keep it close with friends and family. We hold that in marked contrast with a typical Jewish wedding. So John chapter 2 has, it was a wedding in Cana. Jewish weddings are big things. So it is a week-long party for the entire community. It is celebration and families coming together, and it is caring for all the people and all the guests. And as someone who kind of professionally puts together week and 2 week-long parties, I have come to a new appreciation of how many administrative and logistical details are involved in this. And it is massive. So it is, what's the entertainment? How much food is there going to be? How much food do we have to have? It is a glorious celebration. However, in this instance, something happened. They run out of wine. They run out of enough food and drink, and it has the potential to turn a celebration into a disaster. It has the potential for this to be the cautionary tale of, oh, you don't want to have a wedding like the Joneses did. We still talk about that to this day. It has the chance to make them seem to be inferior and bring shame to the families. Any number of things could have happened. Somebody could have spilled and broken the jar. Somebody could have taken it to the wrong town. Somebody could have just forgotten to order things. They might have shipped milk instead of wine. Who knows? But what they find is we've run out of wine, and very soon this party is going to come to an end, and shame will fall on the families. And somehow, Mary, the mother of Jesus, finds out. If she is part of the extended family, if she's friends with the matron, however it is, she seems to find out. And she comes and she finds her son, Jesus, and says, they've run out of wine. Jesus' response is so. It's, what does that have to do with us? It seems like he's saying no. And then Mary's response is to go to the servants and say, do whatever he tells you to do. Which seems to say yes. It seems as if Mary, the Blessed Virgin, was voluntelling her son, the Messiah, I want you to go and do something. Who knows what she was actually asking? If it's just, do you want him to go and get a little bit more wine? Do you want him to do a miracle? Something in between. But it seems that she comes up and says, you may have said no, but we're not going to have this argument. I'm just going to go tell the servants to come to you, and they will do whatever you say. It's such a mom thing to do. Such a mom thing to do. So there was one year where I was coming back from college, and my mother said, hey, James, I have started running a youth choir for our church. And so I would like you to choreograph some numbers for them so that they can do some productions for doing some tours, and it would be really helpful. And I'm like, but Mom, I'm not a choreographer. Those of you who know me don't automatically think song and dance man. Which is true. And yet, she was like, you were in show choir for a few years, so, you know, you should do it. Okay, Mom. So I find myself teaching the youth choir how to do jazz hands and how to do the box step and how to do a hand jive to Shine Jesus Shine. And it's not great. There is a reason that I did not go into choreography after I left. But it gave her and it gave them what they needed. And then I went with them when they were doing a summer tour to a couple different churches. And that was actually my first foray into preaching. And so I've been getting up in front of congregations and sharing the Word of God since I was 19. And if you have problems with that, you can talk to her because it's her fault. So Jesus finds himself in something of a tricky situation. He finds himself where he says, my time has not yet come. The call of God on my life has not yet come to a place where I should reveal myself by working miracles. However, Mom has asked me to do something. However, a public display of divine power here in the midst of this wedding, while it will bring honor to Jesus and attention to him and people will say that's amazing, also does nothing to keep the families from being shamed and pouring a bad reputation on them. Oh, you were the wedding that ran out of wine and so we had to call in the Messiah because it was such a catastrophe. He finds himself in a little bit of a tricky situation, but then models for us one of the commandments, honor your father and mother. We read it in Deuteronomy. It's a repetition of one of the Ten Commandments. Honor your father and mother with a blessing that comes after that. Now, honor includes loving and obeying and respecting and valuing. The original word literally meant a heaviness, a weight. Like there is a gravity in your opinion and impression and relationship with someone that you honor. You value their words. What they have to say sinks deep. What they think, what they feel, their esteem all means a lot to us. And can have some impact and some gravity and some weight to it. Parents are central to our lives. Moms are central to our lives. When they offer positive words, when they offer kindness, when they offer encouragement, it shapes our reality. It gives us a sense of safety and security and belonging. It allows us to go out into the big, wide, dangerous world feeling like I have a place that's safe and secure, even if the rest of the world is a trap and a nightmare. On the other hand, when we are hurt by parents, it feels like the earth is shaking. It feels like everything that we have been able to hold on to just crumbles. God is not surprised that we're not perfect. God is not surprised that our parents are not perfect. That only comes as a shock to us. That only comes as a surprise to us who are like, well, how did that, why did that, that's not supposed to happen. God knows exactly who our parents are and exactly what they deal with and exactly what they've struggled with. And so when there are places where we get hurt, He does not get shocked by that. It's actually our imperfections as a people that led to Easter that we celebrated just a few weeks ago, and Jesus defeating sin and death. Our parents do not have to be perfect because God is. Our parents don't have to have all the answers because God does. He has equipped us to be able to find everything that we need in him, as opposed to saying, if my parent makes a mistake, then all is lost. We actually have the opportunity to be compassionate towards our parents because God has had compassion on us. One of the great ways for us to grow in compassion for our moms, for our parents, is to find out more about their story. One of the things that you will find in most conversations you have with mom is it's all about you. And it is, here's what I'm dealing with, here's what I'm struggling with, here, what do I do? It takes some intentionality on our part as sons and daughters to be able to say, What was your life like? You know, back in the old days when they still wrote in the dirt. What was your life like? How did you come to faith? How have you seen God move? What did you give up? What are places where you found following God was life-giving? Where are the challenges? The more that we are able to find out about our parents, the more we're able to find out about our moms, the bigger opportunity there is for us to have compassion on them. And we are able to have compassion because we know that God has been compassionate towards us. We can forgive them if necessary because God has forgiven us. Even though there is that honor and that gravity that we have towards our moms, any mistakes that she might have made, we don't have to carry that with us forever because we can forgive. We can release that burden. We talk about forgiveness here in the church all the time. That can apply towards our parents as well. We can honor them. We can honor our moms because God has given them to us, and he's given us to them. God said, I will set you up with this person. You are exactly what they need. They are what you need, and I will equip you to be able to both support each other and also deal with each other's baggage. We have the opportunity to step into honoring these very specific relationships that God has set us into. So Jesus, in the midst of the wedding of Cana, hearing what his mom is offering and looking at the situation, he steps into honoring his mother by getting creative. Getting creative in trying to honor her while still obeying God's call. So he sees these massive ceremonial washing pots. They hold 20 to 30 gallons apiece. The other night I was sitting up prepping the passage, and I was like, hey, Karina, you want to hear some geeky Bible math? She was like, sure, why not? And like, so if it was 180 gallons worth of wine that was made, and then you figure out how many milliliters are in a gallon and how many milliliters in a bottle, and then an expensive bottle of wine is about $100. So it's probably, Jesus probably creates $90,000 worth of wine as a wedding gift for these people. Like 3 to 4 big bathtubs just full of the finest wine. Massive. So he sees these ceremonial washing pots, and he tells the servants, go and fill them up with water. Which, if you are doing 180 gallons of water by hand, is probably not a fast process. And with every scoop of the bucket, they fill it up, and he's like, keep going, all the way to the brim, all the way to the brim. And makes no sense to the people who are doing it, but they do it. They say yes. Which, interestingly enough, they are obeying him not because of authority that they think that he has, but authority that his mother has, because they are listening to what she had to say. So they fill up the ceremonial washing pots full of water, and then he says, and now, next part, just scoop some out and take it to the master of the feast. Okay. So dirty bathtub water going on out to the professional wine taster and party planner. Awesome. I'm not going to get in trouble for this at all. So he scoops it up and takes it out, and you can imagine the servant standing there as the master of the feast takes a sip and then takes another sip, then says, whoa, stop the party, stop the music. Bridegroom, come on up. And no one knows what is happening until he says, I just want to honor you and celebrate you at the moment, because this is remarkable. Like, you have saved the best for last. What an incredible host you are. What an incredible party this is. Everyone, another round of cheers and celebration for the bride and groom. Who's dumbfounded? Who knows if, I didn't know anything that was going on during my wedding, so he may not have had any clue at all that there was a problem with the wine, but he's like, oh, sure, I'll take it, great. What happened? The only one who knows that there has been 180 gallons of the finest wine crafted are Jesus, his mother, the disciples, and the servants. so much wine and so many good things. He honors his mother. He honors the family and saves them from having this reputation of failure. By doing this miracle, Scripture says his disciples believed in him. And so they got to see this, and they said, "You, I will follow. I don't know exactly what is happening here, but I will follow you." And he obeys God's timing. He's not revealed. He's not overwhelmed by people asking him to come attend his wedding. He has a way where he honors his mother and creatively continues to be faithful to his calling with God. Today is a great day to be able to honor our moms, to be able to love them and obey them and respect them, to feel the weight of our attachment and connection to them. If your mom has already passed, if you have left her, it is a chance to be able to honor her memory. And my encouragement in that is be very intentional about how you share her story. There are lots of ways that we can reflect back on our memories of people that either cast them in a good light or cast us in a good light for having to deal with them. My encouragement is let our telling of their story, let our honoring of them be something that actually builds them up, that has compassion on them. Because again, we can forgive, we can have compassion because God has forgiven and had compassion on us. If you have the best mom in the world, you're delusional, because I do. And let me just say, there's a different kind of pressure that comes when your mom is sitting in the congregation of a Mother's Day sermon that you are giving. She hasn't attended a sermon of mine for 10 years, but she was like, "Today is the one I'm coming to. Good luck. I'll heckle you from the back if you get anything wrong." Clearly, there's a pattern in women I choose in my life. But if you have a great mom, today is a fabulous time to tell her and to tell other people. Share the good news of your mom. Share what she does well. Share funny stories. Tell her how much she means to you. All those little stories that you bring up to make her feel guilty, to make her have her make you cookies, just leave those out this time. And celebrate the gift that God has given to you through her. If you happen to have a complicated relationship with your mother, the invitation is to follow the model that Jesus put down. Find ways to honor her while still following in the path that God has given to you. That can look like a variety of different things. We don't have a whole lot of prayer ministers here, so we can't spend a ton of time on dealing through all the mom issues with complicated relationships. But know that is not a path that you walk alone. Like, again, God is not surprised. God has not been taken aware. And we talk all the time, whatever God has equipped us to, or whatever God has called us to, he's also equipped us for. God has already given you everything that you need in order to have a faithful walk while still honoring your mom. Because that is a calling that he has given to you. It could take some creativity. It could take some prayer. It could take some intercession and miracles of God. But it is something that he is already on your side for. So find ways to honor her while still being faithful to God. And see what kind of miracles may arise. Happy Mother's Day to all. And there are opportunities for us to enter into faith and enter into celebration regardless of how our relationships with our moms have been, because God is good, because God is faithful, and because God is with us through those relationships and is eager to have his hand seen in the midst of that. At the end of this service, there are going to be some people around who are passing out gifts, I believe, at the doors. So if you are a mom, feel free to swing on by there, and they will happily give one to you. If they don't, then you can threaten them or tell them that I said they had to. There's no other pastoral staff here, so I've got the pulpit, I've got the mic. They have to be cheery. May God bless you in this day. May he awaken in your mind all the things that have been gifts from the mothers that he's given to us. Amen.